Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Go and Preach to Them.
2 Kings chapter 7, you need a Bible. I see the amen, hospitality is passing out Bibles. You need a Bible, just put your hand up. Put your hand up if you need a Bible. 2 Kings, are you ready to read the word? Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 7. Let's read. 2 Kings. Then Elijah said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, the Lord will make widows in heaven. Might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leper men at the entering of the gate, and they said to one another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there, and if we be still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they shall save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syria, behold, there was no man there. Continue to read.
Horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went in and hid it. Then they said to one another, We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come. Let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact. And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, Please, let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, Go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a say of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two says of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, wow, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two says of barley for a shekel, and a say of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, "Now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he had said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And so what happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died.
Verse number 9 and verse 10 is where I'll lift the text from this morning. Verse number 9 and verse number 10, "And there were four leopard men entering into the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit here until we die? If we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and if we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." I know I'm preaching a series of "Go Preach to Them." And you're asking now, what does this have to do with that? One theologian said, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. This account today is an excellent example of finding bread and saying something. Do me a favor before I pray. Say, "Neighbor, if you found bread, say something." Jesus said, "I am the bread of heaven." If we found Jesus, then we ought to say something. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, if you found Jesus, you ought to say something." Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation of speech, God. Thank you for ears that you've placed in here to hear. And Lord, you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You said, "How can they preach unless they be sent, Lord?" You've sent me this morning to proclaim a message. What are we going to do now? Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done to our lives. We're so grateful. We're so humbled, Lord. We want to live now so graciously, Lord. You've been good, God, and we want to proclaim that loudly. You've made ways out of no way, Lord. You've opened doors. You've closed doors. Whatever was necessary and whatever we had need of, you did exactly that, Lord. So this morning, God, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, God, that we would, oh God, be empowered. We would be, oh God, exhorted, God. We would be strengthened, Lord. We're about to go, oh God, spend time now with family members and friends, Lord. We're about to, oh God, ease right over into the Christmas celebration, Lord. The Mass of Christ. If there is ever the time, God, where depression and oppression rises, it is right now. But Lord, you're going to push back the darkness, Lord. And Lord, you're going to place us in strategic opportunities, Lord, that we can say, "You can be saved from your troubles." So put a word in our mouths that we'd speak boldly as we ought. Let a sermon, oh God, be regurgitated, oh God, that we would preach to our uncles and our aunties, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our loved ones. And even in this season, Father, we'll preach good news of Christ to our very enemies, Lord. Let somebody be saved. Let somebody be delivered. Let somebody recommit their lives back to Christ, Lord, that may have been backslidden. Let the whole world be saved, Lord. For you so loved the world, you gave your only son. For you so loved the whole world, you gave your only son. And now all we got to do is call on your name and we'll be saved, God. When I finish preaching, God, let somebody call on your name and let them be saved. It is in the matchless name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said amen and amen. Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, "Neighbor, what are you going to do now?" Last Sunday, amen, I preached from a subject, the gospel did and does all of that. And I talked about three key things that I'll rehearse real quickly, amen, before I introduce, amen, the book of 2 Kings. But last week I talked about the gospel did and it does all of that. Number one, last week I said it is now time for us to give earnest heed to the things that we have heard. All right. We've already heard enough gospel to be powerful missionaries. We've already heard enough gospel to be power missionaries. And missionaries are not necessarily those that go to foreign land. The root word of missionary is mission. So in order to be a missionary, all I need to do is have a mission. Amen. Them little sixth graders. All I need to do is have a mission. Amen. My community. All I need to do is go up and down these hedges right here called Taylor, called Hillway. And me going to preach the gospel there, I become a missionary. So we ought to give heed to the things that we've heard. I've heard enough now to be a missionary. Do me a favor. Put your hand on your chest. Say, I've heard enough gospel to be a missionary. All right. Second thing that I talked about last week is that we should constantly, amen, think on the miracles that we've already outwitnessed. Amen. And whenever we hear that word, that M word, we start thinking about the incredible, the fabulous, the fantastic that we cannot talk about. But the truth of the matter, the greatest miracle that anyone can experience is new birth. If you've been born again, you've witnessed the greatest miracle that exists. We ought to consistently think on the miracles, but I'm grateful that God does not stop with new birth. Some of us have witnessed and I witnessed other miracles. I've seen my mother, amen, and Pastor Kimberly's mother both healed of cancer. They are older in life now, and they was diagnosed as younger, but now they're cancer-free. Thank God that I've eyewitnessed miracles. When we was in the league, there was a man that came to our church that was deaf in both ears, but by the time he departed out of that service, and I see him periodic now, he can hear perfectly fine now. I have eyewitnessed miracles. Prayed for a man in Greensboro, North Carolina, that he was begging God for tuition for his daughter. And I shared with him what I felt like God, what he was supposed to do. Well, the next night he did what I told him that. And I'm not going to tell you because you try to emulate it to get your scholarship. But it don't work like that, all right? But I was in Greensboro and I told a young man, I felt like if you do this, then God's going to give you a miracle with your daughter. Well, he did exactly what I said. And the next day they received something in the mail that said his daughter had a full scholarship to the college of her choice. I've been an eyewitness of miracles. In fact, if I say it like I really want to say it, I done seen too many miracles now for you to make me doubt God. I done seen God do too much. So we ought to constantly think about, amen, the miracles that we've eyewitnessed. And every now and then you got to think about the miracle that you opened your eyes this morning. You got to think about the miracle that you had the activities of the limb and ain't nothing hooked up to you making your limbs move. Every now and then, you got to think about the miracle that you're walking on your own and you got clothes on your back and you're in your right mind. Too often, we forget the very miraculous work that God has transpired in our lives on an everyday basis. So number two, I said we ought to constantly think on the miracles that we've eyewitnessed. And then number three, amen, now we can never relinquish the truth that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation always and forever. The remedy for this world being changed, and I hope you can hear me this morning, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that is going to change the status quo that we see so wrong with America, you can replace the president, but the new president going to come with new issues. How many times have we elected senators and congressmen and then we still find out that we have problems in both houses? So we can replace all of that. The thing that's going to change, amen, America or any country is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. If we're going to be saved, it is going to be the results of preaching the gospel. So I ask you again, and I don't really have anything deep, profound, or mind-blowing this morning. I have a very simple message. What you going to do now? If we know that the gospel is what's going to change the status quo, then we need to really answer that question this morning. What are we going to do then? Why aren't we going to tell our neighbors about Jesus? If that supervisor is so bad, why haven't you preached to that supervisor yet? If your relatives are so problematic and Christmas and Thanksgiving comes with too much drama, why haven't you busted up in there and then preached to everybody? Ask your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, what are you going to do now? We must never relinquish the truth that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. In Psalms 126, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, and we were like them that dream, there was in our mouth filled with laughter. Listen to what the author says. When the Lord turned our captivity, he's saying, when the Lord saved us, listen what he says, then our mouth were filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said, they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for me, whereof we are glad. Whenever God does something, then we ought to open up our mouth and tell it and sing about it. What are you going to do now? How is it that you are saved and don't none of your friends know that you're saved? How is it that God did all of that last week and you didn't testify to no one? Some of you guys have graduated from colleges, unique colleges and distinct colleges, historical colleges like Morgan State. Got to shout my alma mater. Some of you have graduated from colleges and technically you shouldn't even have had scores to get in a college. And you now graduated by the help of the Almighty God, and you ain't opening up your mouth and telling anybody, especially the ones that need to hear. God can get you in college, yes. And God can get you through. Very simple message this morning. What are you going to do? In Psalms 126 that I just read, it says, when the Lord delivered our captivity, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. What the author is saying, and that's Psalms 126, those of you trying to fact check me on your smart device, Psalms 126, when the Lord did all of that, we had to open up our mouths and say something. Please hear me, those of you that can hear this morning. Don't let the Lord do one more thing and you remain as silent as you've been in the past. 2 Corinthians says, now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph. The author is showing now when God does something like causes us to triumph, we then respond by opening up our mouths and saying something. Now thanks be unto God that causes us to triumph. And that's what the book of 2 Kings is about. It's about chronicling where Israel have been, that they could always have a testimony of what God had done. This unknown writer in the 2 Kings, and I promise you I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there real fast this morning. His book of 2 Kings, this unknown writer under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is now writing from a prophetic perspective what God has done for Israel. He's showing how he established a monarchy and raised up the least people to now be the most powerful people. But now, because they were silent and in disobedience as well as disbelief, they were now about to return to captivity from which they had come. That's an important lesson. when you don't testify and when you don't talk about, when you don't brag and boast about where God has brought you from and you're real silent about it, if you're not careful, you're going to forget about all that he's done. And if you forget about all he's done, if you're not careful, your disbelief now will cause you now to go back to that which you have left. And this is what's going on in 2 Kings. The people that would not talk about their God, the people that would not brag about their God, the people that would not boast about their God, now they were at the point that they didn't believe in their God. And now, because they would not believe, there was a land flowing with milk and honey, but because they wouldn't say nothing and they weren't doing nothing, God said, okay, you won't say nothing, you won't open your mouth, I'm going to let you march right back into where I brought you out of. Be careful when you don't brag about the house that God gave you. Be careful when you're driving cars that you paid for and you ain't boasting about God. Be careful when your marriage is now going past 5 and 10 years. Be careful when you don't boast and brag that God put us together and now nothing has been there. Because if you're not careful, you might find yourself back where you tried to get into. And this is what was going on in 2 Kings. They are about to go back into captivity because they didn't know what to do now. God had established them as a monarchy. They had now been divided by the north and the south, and the south was a little bit more profound than the north. The north had more kings, and the south was a little bit more smaller, but they were more profound. And God was trying to give them one more chance to open up your mouth and brag about me. He was trying to give them one more chance to develop some character. Give them one more chance to develop some competency. Give them one more chance to raise up leaders that would take them forward and not cause them to move backwards. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you better open up your mouth and say something about the goodness of your God. 2 Kings show us that a people were about to go into captivity because they were not boasting, they was not bragging, they was not testifying about the goodness of their God. Whenever you close your mouth and don't say anything, it is not difficult for disbelief and disobedience to enter into your heart. You didn't hear what I just said, so I'm gonna say it again. When you don't talk about God saved me and God delivered me, when you don't talk about that God made a way out of no way, when you don't talk about, man, I could not have been kept if it wasn't for the goodness and the grace. I am who I am by the grace of God. When you don't talk about these things, before long, you start being disbelieving in how God has brought you. And you start thinking you got here on your own. You start thinking, look at what I've done. And over, if I had time, we'd walk through the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, because in Deuteronomy, he tells them, now, I'm going to take you somewhere, but when I take you there, and now you're living in houses you did not build, and you're eating of vines you did not plant, and you're in cities you did not build, he said, I need you to be real careful, because when you get over there, you're going to forget that it was me that brought you over. How true is it that we forgot when it is evident we don't talk about this God that has done it? How true is it? How evident is it that we forgot that God has done it when we don't talk about it? You need to ponder that for a moment. When you read in the Gospels, when Jesus healed somebody, they went and told everybody. They went and told everybody. When you read of the woman that he met at the well, she went into the city and the whole city came to see a man that she preached about. Now, you know this was profound because she was not that kind of woman before meeting Jesus. So she should not have had that kind of influence on the city. Be careful when you stop talking about the God that saved you, the God that delivered you, the God that brought you out. Because if you're not careful, you're going to see the exact same thing that happened in 2 Kings. The whole nation of Israel forgot the God that brought him out. Come on, do me a favor. Say it real loud. Jesus, I shall never forget what you've done for me.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.